You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today we are speaking with Bashir El-Khoury, founder and managing director at Limpid Logic. Limpid Logic is a team of passionate designers, engineers, and inventors on a mission to explore the digital world and the future and bring back to the present new ideas and human experiences through beautiful design and technology. Bashir, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Eric, for having me and for the opportunity.
And you're more than welcome. The pleasure certainly ours. Thanks for coming to us from Australia this morning. So tell us more about Limpid Logic and how it got started to kick things off.
So, yeah, Limpid Logic, basically, I started in 2011, and this is after years of experience. I've been working in gaming companies for over 15 years and in software. And it came right after, basically, the release of the iOS SDK at the time. We got really interested in mobile development. So I started it off after getting a really big contract for a major bank here at the time where iPhone development was not a term or iOS developer. So I put my hands up after just tinkering with really the software self-learning for about, a year doing stuff. And we built the first augmented reality app for property and real estate in Australia. And that won the bank 3 Emmy Awards, which is quite privilege, and that's how I thought of starting a company. I saw there's an opportunity in the market. So that was, 2009, 2010. It took me about a year to set it all up, and that was Limpid Logic. And we basically started off by, we were just two people, and we started together a team of really passionate designers and engineers and gamers that I met throughout my career. To kind of, it all comes from that concept, the imaginary foundation that says, you know, the role of human imagination is to conceive of all the delightful futures where we go and choose the most exciting one and then we pull the present towards it. And basically that resonated with me and I decided to build that environment where we're all in technology, we're all passionate, we're all at the advancement of technology and humanity. We go and explore that new world and bring in those, you know, viable solutions for businesses in the present that needs it most. So we're technically trying to pull businesses from the present towards the future through technology.
What is the meaning behind the name Limpid Logic?
Yeah, and we get that asked quite often. And it might be confusing because limpid is an old term which is really a quality of water or liquid, and this is like a synonym of lucid and clear and transparent. And logic is the logic, and that also goes into our kind of mission statement that we're really clear and transparent. Often with many developers or agencies, the lack of transparency when it comes to development is a problem for many clients, just because, just like building any building, you get to see the result or the quality after the fact. But at Limpid Logic, we're trying to be really transparent with clients to involve them early on in the process. So they get to come and sit with us. And we get to teach them, at least give them an insight into the development world and why is it important to trust and to know about the process, at least, because that's essentially costs you a lot of money if you're going to, you know, put a basement after you've completed building your building. So being limpid is just being clear and transparent with the client, especially that development as an industry, it's always been that, you know, thing that is really far from most businesses and people that don't really understand technology so much. And it's only now that they're starting to get that whole more insights or more knowledge about it, except they're getting it from the other side of the screen, if that makes sense, rather than what goes behind the curtains.
Very, very clever in all regards. Now, I've heard you say that technology makes us more human. Tell us more about that and that perspective.
So, yeah, I'm a bit of a philosophical as well, and there are basically two different views about technology today, and some feel like it's this separate, unnatural thing or a tool that, you know, it's coming here to kind of destroy us, and with artificial intelligence, we're going to be doomed. And, you know, technology and games, they're ruining our kids and enslaving us and all of that, which I don't agree with. I mean, we talk to a lot of people and they say, oh, I'm not a techie, so, you know, I don't understand technology. Yet you go and see that they use it 90% of their time at work and at home, and they're really addicted to it, and they somehow think selfies are really natural to them. So I'm on the other side, which is kind of the other view, like Kevin Kelly puts it nicely, which is that technology is the real skin of our species. It's like an extension of our mind and cognitive abilities. Also, there's a Jason Silva really best said it, you know, iPhone, therefore I am, which is quite funny and pun intended, that, you know, technology makes us better human because it's making us more aware and more connected with each other as well as with other things. That's why with all this innovation, with the Internet of Things, we're putting awareness into the world. We're putting really a piece of our brain or consciousness into inanimate objects. And these objects become smarter, and they start to tell us more about us, whether with all the big data happening, that now we understand people more than any time before because we've got this rich collection of knowledge. We extend our eyes, but through all the new medium and virtual reality, we're expanding our experiences. And I really believe that we are, like they say, we are the creator and the created. So, you know, we put things out, we create them, and then we reflect on them, and they create us back. They affect us, and that's how we kind of, I feel that we've evolved, you know, as humankind. We are tool makers, and I strongly believe the reason we created those tools is when we became kind of aware of our immortality and the scarcity of time, we realized that we wanted to do things faster. We wanted to go places, we wanted to go further, faster. We wanted to basically save time because that's the most expensive commodity we have. And that's why I feel that we build those tools so we can, you know, cut the meat quicker instead of keep crafting that rock like back in the days. Or, you know, created the machinery, create the car so we can travel faster, dive deeper, fly higher. And I see technology is exactly the same thing. And it essentially started, right, so we can compute quicker because it wasn't no longer humanly viable. And, yeah, I think it's really exciting time to see humanity moving to this second phase. We're really expanding our minds and cognitive abilities. Our bodies are changing with robotics and nanotechnology and biotechnology and everything else we're experiencing. So that's why I really believe technology makes us more human, because it's redefining who we are and what we're capable of.
Today we are joined by Bashir El-Khoury, founder and managing director at Limpid Logic, where technology makes more human, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Bashir, what are the challenges today facing businesses that want to innovate or build software products or mobile apps?
So, yeah, the challenges are, there's a lot of challenges, and one of them I really feel is that the lack of, one, resources, so it's really hard to really find developers when the bigger tech companies are sucking up all the talents, just because they grew so big that they can really afford the privilege of keeping people in their, you know, on call and just kind of waiting. And that created kind of a void for other companies, especially that a lot of big industries and companies don't have still developer or software teams. And some of them are not really working constantly to innovate or think what is the next thing they can bring to the to the world, or so they can advance in their business and innovate and not become obsolete in a few years' time. So what they go and do is basically the obvious is they get approached by agencies to do stuff. And in many cases, we get approached by companies. These are industries that existed for thousands of years on this planet, right? That could be in the maybe construction or property or real estate or in medical. And there's this delusion about what technology is and why they are doing it. So basically, they just want to do it for the sake of doing it because they just see that everyone else is doing something with technology. They feel like, well, if we build an app, we tick the box and we're safe because our company has an app, we are visionaries, we moved with the flow. Yet they're missing a really big point, which is the lack of understanding of what technology is, the tool, like I'm saying, of expanding or empowering people. So this is where I tell them the challenge for us is the education part from a human perspective even, that this is not about building an app or having the most recent whatever augmented reality, you know, useless thing you might point at a magazine or something like that. But if you take it from a human user experience and that you're empowering that person by giving him more information on the spot using, let's say, augmented reality, then your approach to technology is completely different because then you start to think from a strategic point of view, what is the benefit for that person and why and whether you should build an app. In many cases, people are just doing it just for the sake of it. And the second problem is basically, I think that was the first and second problem, just mixed them together. But yeah, the lack of talent is definitely one of the key challenges as well we're facing. Like I said, just because bigger companies are sucking the talents and because there's this big thing happening where technology is exponentially growing as we know it. So the advancements of software and tools and libraries and hardware and everything is moving really exponentially by massive companies that have all the talent. And the challenge is for the people and other businesses to catch up. But while the knowledge of the specialized is moving exponentially and the tools are exponentially advanced, the education system is not improving exponentially. In fact, it's almost stalling. So it's left for the rest of, let's say, the agencies or developers or the people to figure out how to keep up. And this is how we're finding often the lack of talent in kids or developers that are graduating. By the time you sign up for the course, by the time you graduate, your knowledge becomes obsolete just because there's a new language out or there's a new framework or the 50-odd libraries you're using in open source have changed overnight. So it's almost education or teaching software development, at least from the building part, is really, really hard these days because you have to really keep up and there's no educational system or at least the structure as we know today that can keep up with that advancement. So we really have to start to think creatively or really developers are going to become that rare breed that is really, that's going to become even more scarce over time as we age. So people who wrote those technologies are really going to pass soon, and then the young ones are really so distracted by the other side of the fence or the stage that they're not really keeping up. So we're finding it very hard to find good talent in software development and technology.
Finally, how do you see the future of software development, and what advice do you have for developers in the space?
Yeah, so I really see, I come from a creative / technical background. I mean, I used to do 3D graphics under DOS at the time and do like TV commercials with a cute jumping box of milk. These days are fun, and this is where I started to realize that, or I build that perception that software development or writing software is a form of art and storytelling as well as a process. So it's got these two sides. So there's the architecture and design side, which is the creative way of solving a problem or writing beautiful code. And there's the other side, which is the building and the process of putting something in place, just like you've designed it. So if you want to compare that to buildings, you know, designing the blueprint of the building and thinking of the dwell and how people are going to live in it and how they're going to travel in it and how the air goes through, that's the creative part. And there's the builder part where he just lays the bricks as designed. I really think the future of that, in terms of art and creativity, arguably, that's always going to be human, as far as we know human now. But I see that the building part, which is most developers are very good at, as in, you know, reading the documentation and kind of building stuff, I see that becoming definitely redundant in a few years' time, just because we're going to design machines that are going to build themselves. If you want to really think about it, that's what 3D printers, printing 3D printers, this is technology creating itself, which is quite amazing. And I really think the process of putting code or logic into place is going to become the machine doing that. So for developers, which I meet quite often, they're so good at following instructions and building. So they are builders. But we need more architects and dreamers and visionaries that can design systems. So he has to, so the job of the developer now has to really go back to engineering, because I feel that the discipline of engineering is almost dying out, that with all the agile methodologies, they're all fine. You pick what works, but there's a lot that doesn't work, that you start to see just because it's easy to build a website, because you actually download it, it's working for you by default. All you have to do is you're tweaking it. Doesn't make you a system designer or developer. So that's why I urge developers to expand their knowledge, or not to be lazy and sticking with, like, WordPress development is not really no longer development. You're tweaking stuff. Expand to think more of the business side of things, of the system design of things, of the user experiences, and then go back and kind of implement or do the building part. So we need more architects and than builders, I really think, just because builders are going to become redundant. So for the builder today, you know, expand your mind, start learning a bit more about design, and write systems that last. Everyone's so interested in contracting just because it's so easy. It's like dating. You just, you know, date 2 weeks, you leave a mess, and you leave, and no one even knows where they're gone. No one wants to commit to a full-time job these days. That's the challenges, but that's what I think the future of software. So if they're not careful, yeah, they're going to be wiped out.
Certainly appreciate your expertise and insight, and sounds pretty awesome, not only the culture, but the company that you have in Limpid Logic. Where can folks get more information?
So, yeah, basically you can get more information on our website. We are very discreet. We've got tons of projects we're putting up in the next few weeks, like really strong showcases we're doing with human experiences and augmented reality and virtual reality. But basically, if you go to www.limpidlogic.com, and we're also on Twitter, and I'm also on Twitter. I've got a few other speaking opportunities and meetups, so I'm always around. If someone is in Sydney in particular, happy to catch up. We always just bounce ideas, trying to create hackathons and, you know, create a bit of a tech bubble here down under in Sydney, just because it's too quiet. It's boring most days. But, yeah, you can reach me anywhere on the website.
Well, Bashir, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
Thank you, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Bashir El-Khoury, founder and managing director at Limpid Logic, where technology makes us more human. And once again, for more information, simply visit limpidlogic.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.